Summer is here and OJ is killing it. On Twitter, this is Tadatus. That's so stupid.
That was good. I like that. That was.
OJ's on Twitter, Nick. It's 2019. What a crazy world we live in. Hey guys, this is Tadatus. I'm Josh. This is Nick. We're drinking some. What are we? I forget what we're drinking tonight. Dickel. Something Dickel 12 year. I don't know.
There you go.
Yeah, I told you I wasn't impressed with my purchase after I bought it. But that's okay. We're drinking some Tennessee whiskey.
It's working.
This is Tadatus.
Episode 26.
Episode 26. Cheers. We started off with a bang, my friend. Talking about OJ.
Yeah.
So obviously, you know, he's on Twitter now, right?
Yeah.
And the jokes we were talking about earlier are just awesome.
Awesome, I heard a couple that they were talking about that as soon as the account opened up, the first comment was, I look forward, you know, I can't wait to see this Twitter. I'm sure he's going to kill it.
Yeah. Yeah, he is killing it. What a weird thing to put yourself out to do. I mean, I don't know, man. It's so weird.
Isn't it 25 years? Right. It just passed the 25th anniversary of the OJ chase, right?
Somebody was like, hey, OJ, what are your thoughts on Ford bringing the white Bronco back? Isn't that what I saw? Twitter's like great for stuff like this. I mean, obviously that's where he's at, but Twitter, the comments are just legendary. Norm MacDonald's been firing back at OJ. He's been pretty funny.
Yeah, it's been 25 years this year. That's what it says. OJ Simpson joins Twitter in the same week, making 25 years since murders.
Yeah, love it. Love it, love it, love it. All right, man, what's going on? Let's see here. Do we do the thing about
you can find where us? Where you find us? No, we have not done that.
We're out of order today. We got sidetracked with OJ being on Twitter. Tadatus, that's Tadatus.com. That stands for taking a dump and thinking about shit. Which is basically what this podcast is about. It's basically Nick and I record our notes for our daily dump and just share it with you.
Something like that.
That's why mine's always about Twitter. Like, I try to think back to a time before Twitter. I was like, what do people do in the restroom we talked about that once about smartphones.
Books,
like, what did people do in the bathroom? But you read the same books or a shampoo bottle or you're just alone with your thoughts, which I think is the scariest place in the world.
Sometimes. Definitely sometimes.
All right. What were we talking about?
Dude, it's summertime.
We didn't finish our whole thing about. Okay, you can also find us at Google Play,
iTunes.
Godly, Nick, this is the worst ever. We're gonna have to cut all this out. We don't even know where to find us. If you found us, why would we be telling you where to find us? Here's the deal. You know where to find us because you're already here. Here's the deal. Tell your friends. That's the whole deal. It's gonna get better, guys. It's gonna get better from here. All right, 3 minutes in, podcast is already ruined. OJ's on Twitter. This is the craziest time. Donald Trump's the president still. That's also kind of weird. We really try to shy away from the politics, Nick, and I'm glad we have because it's just too crazy of a world to even interject there. How crazy is the world? I'll tell you how crazy the world is. Let's stick with the Twitter theme. And I started today when I was telling you about Skip Bayless got by a fake Twitter account, right?
Yeah, on this Rockets tiff that is not a Rockets tiff.
So this guy, you know who Skip Bayless is, right? He's on Fox Sports.
Skip.
Yeah, he's on Fox
Skip
Sports.
Skip and Shannon.
And he said, man
what
boobs.
What is it, Undisputed? Yeah.
Is that what it is? Did you ever watch that show?
Never.
Do you watch any of those shows?
No.
Me either. What does it say about us?
Nothing.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, who are those people talking to?
I watch Scott Van Pelt on SportsCenter at night.
SVP, he's okay.
I watch him at night, but
what do
the
you
other
watch?
The ones are on in the morning. I don't.
Do you watch any other of the SportsCenter? Not SportsCenter, but the TV shows, whatever they're called, the debate shows or.
Like, pardon the interruption.
Yeah, okay, I caught that for the first time in probably 5 or 6 years the other day. I was sitting around on a Tuesday afternoon, and I was like, oh, wow, that's pardon the interruption, and what's the one after that? Oh, the game show, kind of, where they get points. Tony Reale's the dude.
I know what you're talking about. Max Kellerman was the original host.
Correct.
That.
Yeah. That was back in the day. Anyways, they've got like a whole new. It was like a whole new podium now, and I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. He's got a little podium with buttons and stuff like that. It's like, okay, that's how he and gives the points out, whatever. But I was, I really wasn't even paying attention. I used to like live for that stuff. I used to live for that sports commentating.
Shows, but I don't watch that stuff anymore. I just don't have time for it. They're on. I mean, it's on at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, right?
Is that accurate? I don't know. It used to be where I used to have ESPN on all the time, and I've always worked in restaurants, so it's always been on time. So I've been surrounded by it. But in, like, I mean, I don't watch it ever now. I never put it on at home.
Not unless our teams are playing. That's really about the only time I'm. Like I said, other than
no, but internet, I mean, like, I mean, I don't put it on ESPN the channel ever unless it's a game. Sure, but I'm saying I don't watch any of those shows. I don't watch the recap shows. I don't watch SportsCenter. You know, I remember there was a time where I watched SportsCenter 4 times a day.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Because it was.
Well, if you were watching SportsCenter this week, Josh, you would have obviously known and seen that the Raptors won the NBA title. The last time at the end of our last podcast, the NBA Finals were starting, and nobody was going to bet the Raptors were going to win.
You know, nobody? I don't know, nobody, but yeah, they were
like
an outside.
They were like a plus 700.
Okay. Oh, I get it. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't.
No. But hey, you know, good for the Raptors. They played a lot better than I thought they were. You know, if you watch those sports channels or anything about sports in the last week, Josh, being on the subject, obviously you saw about that. And then you've heard the questions already come in. You know, does there some sort of asterisk because the Warriors were hurt? And, of course, everybody else says no because the Warriors had other people hurt during their championship
run. Is that what people are actually saying? That's why I don't listen to those. Yeah. That's why I don't listen to sports talk anymore. That's why I don't do any of that. Because
I'm trying to make drama out of it. It doesn't matter. Yeah, they won. They won 4 out of 6 games. Okay. They beat them. That's it.
Yeah.
But the questions, you know, as far as KD and Clay getting hurt, you know, what does that do for the Warriors' quote unquote dynasty?
What do you mean? They won 3 in a row, right?
No, they did not win.
Oh, they won 2 in a row.
They won 2.
3 and 4 years.
Yeah, 3 and 4 years, and they've been 5 years in a row.
That's about as good as it gets.
Yeah.
Okay.
But now they got 2 big injuries. Obviously, KD and Clay won't play next year. So. What do you mean
they won't play?
Kevin Durant had Achilles surgery.
He's out for the year?
He's already out for the entire next season.
Even the playoffs next year?
He could make it back probably for the playoffs.
Okay, that's so something.
April of next year.
That's not bad.
That's a long time. Anyways, and then Clay, I think, is out the same because he tore his ACL. Anyways, but the Warriors actually said that they were going to offer both of them max contracts. Now, that was said right immediately following the series loss. What comes to be, we'll see. But, I mean, if they do, so be it. If not, it's interesting for, obviously, we're getting into free agency in the NBA.
Yeah.
And that's where you're, the Dingleberry account that Skip Bayless was quoting was talking about. Well, the Rockets.
I think he was trying to overplay or maybe add some fuel to the fire that is everybody's for sale on the Rockets and that. That Harden and Chris Paul were having a tiff.
Right.
I think the deal was that Harden was upset because Chris Paul was telling him he had man boobs, and apparently Harden cried at practice once. And then James Harden allegedly farted on Chris Paul's face and gave him pink eye. Anyway, what's hilarious about this is it was pretty easy.
Skip Bayless quoted that. Yeah.
I was fooled for a few seconds. I thought this was awesome and I liked it. And then I was like, let me check this out for like 12 more seconds. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. This is a parody account. This is not real. And Skip Bayless, or somebody fed it to Skip Bayless some way, but he said it on national TV without doing his homework. And yeah, what an idiot Skip Bayless is. He looks like a real big dummy. But I guess maybe the more interesting thing for you and I is while the whatever the tweet said is probably not accurate of what actually happened is, you know, the question is there a rift between Harden and Chris Paul? Can they coexist? And also, what else are you going to do for them to get over the hump, if anything?
Well, and they said that we're going to actively pursue Jimmy Butler. And I love the idea of bringing him here. But in order to get him here, we started talking about this outside. It's got to be a sign and trade somewhere with him, but I also think that they're interested in Al Horford out of Boston. Boston's already asking about Clint.
Yeah, we talked about that.
So again, another sign and trade. We could create the cap space, but I think somehow in this trade, Eric Gordon is taken.
Yeah, he's gone. I would guess if they're adding a third star, is what Moria would like to call it, that means Capella and or Gordon, if not both, are gone. Which I think it's probably both. So I mean, I guess it remains to be seen. It's really hard at this point to like get all excited about these rumors because.
Well, there's been two trades so far that were worth mentioning. Obviously, Anthony Davis went to the Lakers.
Yeah. Do you think that makes the Lakers better?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Now them losing Brandon Ingram. Ingram's a stud. He's a hell of a player.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
But I think New Orleans. They also got Lonzo Ball, and they got somebody else, and they got a pick.
Who cares? They got some. I think a couple picks.
I think Anthony Davis helps LeBron.
Yeah,
I think he's probably one of the best bigs he's ever played with.
Yeah.
Is
it the best players ever played with?
Possibly. I mean, Anthony Davis has been MVP candidate many a time.
Better than Chris Paul and Dwayne Wade. Anyways, he's pretty damn good.
Yeah,
he's a stretch five. He can shoot. He's got lots of moves. Block machine. Defensive paint. We'll see.
His only weakness is his staying healthy.
But who? What else the Lakers going to build around that?
Mike Conley got traded.
It's tough at this point to even like really get too into the nitty gritty because there's so many things are going to happen.
Well, there's still so many more moves that are going to
happen. When's the draft?
Coming up. Mike Conley got traded. He's on the Jazz now, and they picked up three players to go to Memphis.
What is do you listen to Sports Talk Radio still now?
Yeah, that's pretty much all I listen to in the car.
What is the topic on Sports Talk Radio with regards to basketball? Is it the tiff, the rift, the feud?
It was making fun of how it was obviously saying that first of all there's not any truth to this.
Oh, about this story?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
And then,
so they actually talked about that.
Yeah.
Man, that story went around the world and back. How awesome that Twitter.
Well, because within an hour of it coming out, Chris Paul's responding saying this is news to me.
About the
him asking for a trade.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And demanding a trade, and the more it came right afterwards, and was like, none of this is true. So
you think he's committed, or do you think that's just him trying to play?
I'm sure. I'm absolutely sure that. Chris Paul wants to run more ball movement, and I'm okay with that.
Let me ask you a question. I don't really care about that. What I do care about is...
I want a third star. I want Jimmy Buckets.
What... I'm saying I don't care about that. What I mean to say is, how often do you think players go to management and say, I can't play with this guy? And, like, that's a pretty diva move, right? You know what I mean?
Sure.
For either one of those guys to do that, it's a pretty diva kind of move.
I don't think either one of them did that.
You don't think so?
No.
So, okay. Fair enough.
Adam Clanton.
He's the worst, by the way.
Yeah, but he's on the A team show, and then he's also on KPRC, right? Channel 2?
I don't know, is he?
He's on, he's on either, I think he's 2 or 11. Anyways.
He used to be, is he back on?
Yeah, he was talking about how, the first thing I read from this guy's Twitter, or on his feed, when he knew this guy was full of shit, he says, I'm reading what he's talking about. What he's going with is his first point about how during the practice, at the end of practice, James Harden would want to be over at the other end of the floor shooting on his own basket and nobody bothering. And that Chris Paul would take a rookie player over there and try to play one-on-one on the same basket to flex on James Harden. Clanton was saying this, first of all, no media is allowed in the practice when that is actually happening. He's like, I'll walk you through what happens. And he goes through 10 or 12 different things that happen prior to a practice actually starting while the media is still allowed to be there. Once the practice actually kicks off, the media is not in there.
So he's saying that nobody could even report on that?
So he's saying that this guy was not somebody who's ever would have access to that.
Right, but another player could say that.
Sure.
A lot of these reporters will get friendly with the player, and the player's like, I don't care what the fuck that.
What he was saying is the way the guy was reporting the story is as if he was there watching this. He didn't lead off by saying.
Either way, what do you think about that story if it did happen?
Who cares? It's practice.
It's interesting. What do you think about the guy that wants to go off and shoot on his own?
At the end of practice?
Sure. Okay. Is it after practice?
It was at the end of practice.
Okay. Yeah. It wasn't like I'm disrupted. I'm just going to. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
So what is there anything wrong with Chris Paul going over there and trying to play one-on-one on the same basket? He's just curious what your thoughts are on the whole thing.
There's more than one basket in that gym.
Right. Yeah. So I guess what we're trying to find out. We're trying to read the tea leaves with regards to is there any
problem? I don't think so.
Day, it doesn't matter really. They're both expected to do a job, and I guess it's D'Antoni's position to decide how things are going to be played. If there is a stylistic break with the two players, that's what we think the tiff is about how to operate in crunch time. Chris Paul wants ball movement and plays, and James Harden wants isolation and to dish when they collapse on him, whatever. So that's D'Antoni's job to decide how they're going to play in those moments, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely.
So really, it should be a moot point for the players. How much player involvement in coaching would you think you would like from the coaching standpoint? Like, if you were the head coach, are you appreciative of Chris Paul, who can run the offense and so on and so forth, and you just want to collaborate with him? Or do you want to be more hands-on? I don't know. Have you ever coached anything before? I really haven't. You know.
No. My only answer to that is tell you what I want. I want them.
How about management style? You've managed a bunch of people before.
Sure.
Are you? Okay. How would you define the difference? Okay. So D'Antoni seems to be, a lot of ways, hands-off.
They call him a player's coach.
Right. I get that. He's a little bit hands-off. Do you like that? Seems more.
I do like that hands-off. Okay. But I also.
You identify with that in your personal management style?
His management, or the way he's run his teams over his career, though, is high up-tempo, lots of threes, lots of ball movement.
Okay.
That's always been
that. That's antithetical to James Harden's style? Is that what you're trying to get at?
No, I'm saying that Harden, I'm okay with the ISO ball, but I want where we are most effective, where the Rockets are most effective, is when they're running plays that create the ISO and then give them the option. I'm saying I want them to merge the two.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, I guess that's...
Because you can run an ISO.
Yeah. Well, sure, yeah. Let's exploit our best options, our best options, right. Our free-flowing offense, you know, mixed with the best ISO player in the game.
Right.
I get all that. But I'm just saying, how do you decide when it's most important? Like, when it's most important in the fourth quarter in the last 2 minutes, for example, in Game 6 or Game 7, closeout games...
Are you a guy that calls a timeout or no?
Me?
Yeah.
So when it comes to basketball, I think I read a bunch about Phil Jackson, and I kind
of... Triangle bitch.
Yeah, I... what the fuck that means? I kind of like his style, and his style was he didn't like to call the timeout. He wanted the players to work through adversity. Now, that could mean, like, as an overall principle, and things tighten up in the last 2 minutes of the
right.
closeout game. So, yeah, there's a little bit difference of circumstances. But I kind of tend towards that style, which is a little bit more hands-off. I want you to figure it out because you learn something when you figure it out. I'm going to talk a little bit about a book I'm reading later on. But there's a concept of... You know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And there's the whole first part of the book is about kind of how we're raising our kids and how you got to expose them to things to, you know, like so they can work through things.
Right.
You know what I mean? If everything's easy, then you never, when you do finally face adversity, you don't have to deal with it.
Exactly.
So in the realm of a playoff or a basketball game, for example, if you've going through a bad stretch, Phil Jackson's thought was, hey, you guys figured out, you got yourselves here, figured out, clean the defense up, get a good shot, you know. Let's get back to basics. And through that, his thought was, when it really came down to crunch time, you would be more mentally focused and easier to handle that stuff.
Right.
Fair enough?
Absolutely.
You know what else I really liked about Phil Jackson? He said that one of his missions as a coach was to give every player on the team a purpose. So, right, when we get into playoffs, we talk about just basketball overall. How many? There's like 18 guys on the bench, right? 15 dress, something like that?
Yeah.
So you play five, obviously,
12,
at a time.
12-man roster. 12 men are dressed on the bench.
Okay, so 12-man roster. So you get five on the players.
I think it's 15 on total on the bench, but 12 dressed.
My point is there are guys that aren't going to play, right?
Right,
and they're just going to be with the team every day, hang, you know what I mean? So you have to give those guys a purpose for being. And so sometimes he would say, hey, I want you to, you know, like, I want you to track the defensive stats of this team. Like, you're a defensive-minded guy, so I want you to track the defensive stats. I want you to help me come up with a game plan for the defense for this team. You know what I mean? And another guy, you might say, hey, I want you to work on this guy's quick. You know what I mean? So it was like he gave someone, everybody down to the last guy on the bench.
Right.
That's the whole point, exactly.
Right.
I think that's pretty important as well.
Absolutely.
Does that make sense? Yeah, yeah.
No, I told you one of my favorite, for the longest time, I did not like the San Antonio Spurs. I was always
hater. It
just bothered me, you know. They were a nemesis. They were a thorn. But it was the finals with San Antonio and Miami. Miami's up 3-1 in the third quarter of Game 5. Up 16 points. Danny Green goes charging out at Ray Allen, who's on the 3-point line.
Okay.
Ray Allen pumps. Danny Green goes flying by him. Ray sidesteps, dribbles, obviously, and drains a three. They call a timeout immediately.
Yeah.
Popovich lights him up. pokes him in the chest, tells him, you got to close out to his fucking chest. Get on the bench. As he's walking to the bench, Tony Parker, who was sitting on the bench, stopped him and did the exact same thing. Poked him in the chest, said, you got to close out, dude. You got to close out to his chest. And sent him to the bench. Everybody on the bench was as engaged from 1 through 12. Yeah.
Okay, I get your point.
And so that's when I actually, I mean, it just opened my eyes. I was like, fuck, these guys are locked in. You're 3-1 in a series, up 16 in the third quarter of game 5. That only cut it to 13.
But just the idea that
But everybody was not just locked in. They were coaching all the way. Yeah. Everybody's all, and nobody got butthurt. Just one
set. It's like an aligned philosophy, you know what I mean? Right. Everybody buys into the system, and you know the system says work hard here, work hard here, work hard here. And so when you don't, when you let your teammates down, everybody lets you know it. You know what I mean? And if the culture is positive, meaning you're not going to feel beat up by it,
it produces champions.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, you'll have much more success. You know, that's one thing that makes me a little cautious about Chris Paul is maybe the culture around him is not always positive. Meaning, people that used to play with him talk shit about him. You know what I mean? And, sure. You know, that's something to be said about being a bad teammate. You know, like, okay, so I played a lot of team sports in my life, and I'm still kind of, you know, engaged in team sports. And there's something to a dynamic on a team. You know what I mean? Like, I've been in situations where you play with a guy, like, you know, the whole ball hog situation. You know what I mean? And so that can demoralize a team, specifically if you've got another player on the team, you know, verbally dissenting from that style of play. You know what I mean?
Right.
That you can have a fractional, you know, kind of situation in a locker room, so on and so forth. I've been in those situations, even on, like, the teams that I played on, you know. You kind of get and that's, like, again, we go back to the coach. That's the coach's job, is to work through that and to build a culture that's, you know what I mean? It's like okay, how do you, you know, we talked about how do you get a bunch of superstars to play well together. It's, you got to spread the ball around. You got to make sure everybody gets their touches, so on and so forth. But you, most importantly, you have to get everybody to buy into the system that winning is so much more important than individual stats, than individual performance. You know what I mean? Like, if you have a bad day today, the next day we all play together and you pick your team, you pick yourselves up. You know, how about this? It's what we see with the Astros. This is what we've seen with the Astros since this new regime kind of is in place. When they started winning again in whatever, 2008, I guess. No, 2000.
No, they start winning in 2008.
I'm sorry, 2017 is what I meant to say. 2018, 2016, right when they started
16.
Yeah, when they started getting good again, right? You could see the clubhouse. They had Club Astros that one year, where it just seemed like a party every night. And while that may have seemed juvenile to the outside, you could just kind of see a camaraderie building there.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, managers have a little bit to do with that, I guess, like chemistry and teammates.
Dude, AJ Hinch is probably one of the best skippers I've seen for the Stros.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I said the other day, I don't know if we talked about this podcast, but I think Justin Verlander's the best Astro pitcher to ever
wear the uniform. We talked about it at the restaurant.
Yeah. Okay, so we didn't talk about the podcast. Yeah. Anyways, the overall point, we can talk about Justin Verlander in just a second. The overall point is that it doesn't seem like Chris Paul is that really good teammate guy. James Harden's a little bit of that wallflower kind of, you know what I mean? Let me do my own thing. I'm also kind of a superstar diva. So you have like some, right?
I was just laughing because I actually pictured him doing exactly what you just did.
Oh, my little head fake?
With the hands and everything.
Yeah. I just want to sit on the sideline right here and like just shoot basketballs or whatever. I don't know what his deal is. Okay, but my point in saying all that is you've got some personalities that aren't really like team oriented. And I wonder if that's really the ultimate problem with maybe both these guys is, you know, is Dwight Howard in a lot of ways was like that, right? Dwight Howard, a lot of his teammates thought he was like too much of a kid. I don't know. Your thoughts on that?
I don't disagree that both of them kind of have that a little bit, but I think there's been a period of time, though, at least maybe last year, where they played together and it seemed like there was a true one goal.
You know, winning solves a lot of that too.
Well, sure, absolutely. Yeah, because last year, 67-15, you're killing it.
And this year, they had some the struggles and so on and so forth.
Lots of injuries and lots of, I mean, 55-27. So,
along with that chemistry thing, do you think Morey's like the turnover rate of players for the Rockets, you know, six players in, out every year. Do you think that also affects that kind of team locker room camaraderie thing? Or, like, I'm kind of putting a lot of stock in that. Do you even think, are you putting as much, are you agreeing with me that there's something important to that teammate work thing? Or can you just put a bunch of superstars together and just follow a system and get it done?
Man, I don't know, because Golden State built it. They added on people.
Didn't they seem like they had a pretty good?
San Antonio built it. And they just...
Except this year, it seemed like Draymond and KD kind of got into a little
sure,
bit.
Sure, sure. But dun, I mean, dun, dun. That was just, the first found year.
Problem.
That was the first year of an issue. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what comes out of that. Does KD stay?
That's why it's so tough to talk about this now, because there's so many players going to change
right
soon. We spent a lot of time talking about the Rockets. Let's move on to...
Sorry, so I want to cover a couple other things in sports real
fast.
Yeah.
Well, what do we want to talk about next?
Very quickly, Gary Woodland won the U.S. Open this past weekend at Pebble Beach. I have officially put Pebble Beach on my bucket list of golf courses to play in my life.
Okay. Me too.
Any idea how much it costs to play there?
$1,500 a round.
No, it's not that much.
Okay.
It is $700.
Oh, that's... come on. Get out of town. But if you're going there for an event, like, you could, you know, you set it all up and you plan it and you could,
I want to play there, and it'll be worth it to go play. $700 so.
And by the way, all the golf we talk about.
I said, by the way, Gary Woodland won $2.25 million.
Nobody cares about that either. That's all right, so on to the Astros. I started saying this just a second ago. Man. Justin Verlander is the greatest Astro.
They're all hurt right now.
Ever, you think? Ever? I said this the other day to you in a different setting. Who's the best Astro pitcher ever? Nolan Ryan.
Yeah, either Nolan Ryan or Verlander's rapidly getting there. I mean, Verlander's got a World Series.
Roger Clemens. Nolan I think Ryan that's. I think that puts Roger him over the Clemens top. What's his? J.R. Richardson's in that. Mike Scott.
Yep. Roy O.
Mike Scott, maybe. Roy Oswalt. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I still think Justin Verlander. Now, if you put his full body of work together plus the ring that he won with the Astros, I think that kind of puts him over the top.
Oh, it was a career-wise, absolutely. But it's even just his time here with the Astros, though.
He's so good, although he got touched up for, like, I think four runs yesterday.
Well, he's given up 7 runs in his last 2 games, all home runs.
Yeah, no. He gets like popped on home runs. Same thing with Garrett Cole. I was talking to my dad about that. When you throw that 97-mile-an-hour fastball, four-seamer, whatever he throws, you know, and if you get it up in the zone, it doesn't take much to get out of the ballpark. And the, you know, I think power pitchers, that's what they're susceptible to, you know what I mean? That happens. You strike a bunch of guys out.
Yeah, but in the same game he gives up 3 home runs, he strikes out 15.
Yeah, and that third or fourth home run he gave up he was 1-2 or something like that. The batter, he's looking for his 15th strikeout, which is career high, and he misses a pitch. The guy hits a home run. He strikes the next guy out. So he ends up getting his record or whatever, sets his new correct career high. My point in saying that was that what he's doing right now as an Astro, even that game,
right? Even though he's only been here for a year and a half. I mean.
Yeah, he's going on 2 years at the All-Star break, or a little after the All-Star break, whatever, the waiver break.
Yeah.
This year, that'll be 2 full years with the team. World Series with 1. But he's been really rock solid. As rock solid as Roger Clemens was when he won the Cy Young the year that he came for the Astros the first year. So I'm just saying that his career matched up with what he's done specifically as an Astro. I think he's the greatest Astro pitcher ever. And it's probably heavily weighted on the fact that he pitched the World Series winning team. That whole team gets elevated above everybody else because they did win it all.
Right, you did actually get a World Series.
So back to the rest of the team, though, they're injured. Altuve came back today but didn't do much.
You still got 4.
Springer's doing some rehab. You got Correa coming back.
So Springer's in Corpus Christi. Right, Stassi's in Corpus Christi.
Don't care about Stassi. I'm not really interested in him. I think
he comes up and Stubbs goes back down.
That's fine, but he's a backup catcher.
Sure.
Your core players are Springer, Correa, and Altuve.
Correa's not coming back till after All-Star break.
Those 3 players being out was pretty detrimental, and we had some young guys that came up and did well. Now, so here's my thought on all that.
Tyler White's gone.
At some point, the league catches up with these young kids. They get a little bit of film on you, and they figure out how to pitch around you, right? And you're kind of seeing that is what happened. Those guys that have been fill-in players for the injured guys, at some point they plateau, right? They're young. They're just going to hit a wall, and when the league catches up to them, that's what's happening. So right now, it's been about 3 or 4 games now, 5 games maybe, where everybody's been struggling, you know, hitting the ball. They're just not scoring a bunch of runs. The Reds really got, I don't know, whatever happened. They just really got, like, cold.
They hit the ball a bunch on the Reds but weren't scoring runs.
Yeah, that's my point. It's like they couldn't put the pieces together to really put a full game together. And then I think what Osuna, you said Osuna gave up the game today, right?
Yeah, Osuna lost the one today. I mean, he blew the save in the 9th.
Yeah, it was my dad and I talking about that. Anyways, but a bright spot in all this, or maybe it's been a bright spot, is Jordan Alvarez has been an absolute beast.
Jordan.
Yeah.
Jordan Alvarez.
Whatever.
That's a monster.
Yeah. What is it, like 6'5"?
6'5", 265, 21 years old.
Yeah, and we stole him for Josh Fields. That was the trade.
4 home runs. Got another ribby last night when he played.
Yeah, he's batting over 300. It's only been like 6 or 7 games. So, you know, the league's going to catch up to him. They're going to figure out some holes in him. He can't hit this way. But I'm only going to say it because they keep saying it on TV. But he's leading the majors in home runs because he's got 27 home runs.
Right.
As a major leader. I guess because they keep those stats together.
Right.
But just for the sake of who hits the most. But he's hit, well, I think, 4 home runs as a major leaguer.
Correct.
Yeah, and that's like in a week of baseball. That's pretty damn amazing.
He hit a home run in his first 2 games.
Yes. Yeah.
And then 3 in his first 4.
He also walks.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's it's pretty amazing.
He's good. He's staying.
It's a pretty amazing player that the Astros is another Lunau gem. You know
another
what I mean?
Cuban kid.
Yeah, that's another thing. So the Astros, I think they'll be fine.
Going to New York. Coming off of the first 4 game losing streak of the season. First series sweep loss of the season. And now we're going to go play the Bronx Bombers in the Bronx, who just won. They've won 5 in a row, and they scored 12 today on Tampa.
Should be a good, intense kind of feel to those games. You know
it
mean?
Will be. The Astros we're now also, have the, we're also minus some weapons still, but that's all right.
Yeah, the Astros now have games like that where it feels like it's oomph. You know what I mean? Like, you know, when the Yankees and Red Sox come to town, it's always a big draw because of their big names. But now the Astros now are like the thumper. You know what I mean? Like it's. It's exciting to go see those guys. So it's good for that. All right. Anything else on the Astros?
No, but right. Let's take a break.
Yep.
Refill.
And we're back. All right. So you're telling me a funny story about the Texans have a vacant job. And so you went to the website and you were like, okay, listen, I'm going to apply for the job because I hear they're looking for a guy named Nick.
For the general manager.
They weren't looking for a guy named Nick. They were looking for a specific Nick.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was not you. And there was no, please leave your application.
You can go hey, listen, to thetexans.com. You can look up job postings. You can find a bunch of stuff there. But general manager
was not. Do you think you'd be better
not.
Or worse than the last guy?
I can't be worse.
How about the guy
before that? I'm a 3-time fantasy football champion.
That is accurate.
And I've been to the last 3 in a row, won 2 of the last 3.
Did you win it this year? Who won this year?
I did win this year.
Okay.
I've been to the last 3. I
won
2 of the
last. Are you back-to-back winning?
No.
Who won before? Oh, Kevin won before.
It was me, then Kevin, then me.
So you got to get the plaque engraved this year, huh?
Yeah.
I haven't even seen the trophy.
It's at my house. He brought it over.
Oh, we should take pictures with it every year and put it on something.
Maybe so. But that yes, that's what I'm going to put too. On my resume for the Texans. Listen, you want somebody
on your headstone.
You want somebody
three-time and counting.
You want somebody that's going to lead you to a championship.
Lead your franchise to it. Yeah. You know, because you got that for your cunning drafting and your
clearly my leadership. Excellent general management skills.
Yeah.
Of my fantasy.
And you may be onto something here. I think I'm into it.
But there's no space. There's nothing on the Texans website. So if anybody actually gets us to the Texans,
we could probably talk to the people out there. And
I am looking to apply for that spot. Three-time champion. I'm just saying.
Three-time champion. That is very accurate in our league, right? That's
twice in our league, once in a different one.
Oh, so you're counting different leagues?
It's all my leagues. I mean, it's my career as a manager. Of course, I'm going to count it.
I think I won once or twice ever.
In this league?
No, not in our league.
So I don't think
in ever league. my ever of playing. I won once really early on because I had LaDainian Tomlinson that one year. He went off for like 19 million touchdowns.
And 74,000 yards.
Yep. Yeah. He was like throwing passes to himself and catching it in the end zone. For
yeah, so that Texans, I'm here. We're going to talk, guys. Come find me. We got it.
Anyway, do you have any funny stories to tell me?
That was the funniest story I had.
That was a funny story you had? Is it because your name is Nick?
No, it's really not a funny story.
Nobody wants to buy my G.I. Joes, apparently. Nobody reached out to me.
Oh, so we just got back from vacation, though.
You did.
We went to...
Oh, you talked about roller coasters last time.
Yeah, so we got to ride a bunch of roller coasters.
We did this conversation already, but let's do it again, like for all the people. So.
For all the people,
so
yes.
What was the big one? What was the big...
So the one that we got the picture on is called the Wild Eagle.
The Wild Eagle. This was an upside downer?
This was so you're hanging. Your feet are dangling.
Ooh, okay. But harness above you?
But it's not above you. You're actually out on a wing of an eagle. The actual whole roller coaster looks like an eagle with its wings spread.
I don't get it, but what's your seat? What kind of seat contraption are you in?
So your feet are hanging. Put your arm out. It's a chair sitting right in the front, and your feet are just hanging.
I get it.
So you're strapped that way.
Okay.
Very, very secure. Goes
very,
up.
Very secure.
I loved it. It was great. Went up, I rode the thing 8 times.
Did you ever hear the rumors about, like, every time there's a new ride, only 8 people died on this one?
No, but...
So the Wild Eagle
I
Express,
rode it 8 times.
You rode 8 times.
Me and my sister, Abby, rode it 8. Nicole rode it 3 times.
Y'all rode it the most?
The Colonel and Andrew rode it 6 times.
Oh, that's a good number.
Eli rode his first big roller coaster.
One time. He loved it, but he did not really want to do it again necessarily at this point. But he really, really, really enjoyed it.
It was the post. The picture is there.
Do you remember your first roller coaster that you rode? I can't remember. I do know this. Did I ever tell you a story?
Probably a Texas Cyclone, actually.
Did I ever tell you a story about how... I don't know how the story even starts, but I did not like the twisty twirly ride. They just spin around like the teacup style.
Okay.
And I remember being at a fair in Pennsylvania one time. We were visiting my dad's family, and I was on one of those rides, and it got going so bad. I was like, stop this stupid thing. And I was like holding on, because if you twisted it, you can make it go. And I just that was just not my bag. So I made them stop the entire ride. I screamed so bad. And that's not really my MO, but yeah, I was a little bitch that day. And so one of my aunts, I can't remember which one now, decided to take me off on my own and do the carnival games. And I threw a dart and nailed the balloon, and I got to pick something. And they had this, like, glass. I don't know. It was, like, a piece of glass, like, I don't know, stained glass or whatever.
Okay.
And it was Air Bart, and he was black.
Nice.
I was like, I want that.
Nice.
And that was on my wall in my bedroom for years and years and years.
I remember it.
Yeah. I really do. You really?
I do remember.
Yeah, it was right when you're walking out the door. And I have no idea where that's at right now. I would love to have that piece of artwork back, Mom and Dad.
That's nostalgia.
Yeah, for sure. I told that story to my dad the other day, and he was like, I don't remember that story. Like,
well, the real question is, Josh, do you think Jessica would let you put that up in your bedroom by the light?
Oh, above the bed?
Just light switch on the wall.
Oh,
on the way
in
out.
The same spot?
Yeah.
Man, I went to my parents' house for the day, and my dad was cleaning out that room, and there's still a couple of things on the wall. And at some point in my life, I owned a 1991 Honda Civic hatchback.
Yes, she did.
And at the same point in my life,
the hatch.
I had literally no money in my life. And so I really wanted to soup this thing up. So I had a picture on the wall of a souped up 1991 Honda Civic hatchback, like out of a magazine, like pinned to the wall. I saw that the other day, and I was like, oh, man. Those are like my dreams once upon a time. It was like, man, I want to have a hot ride, like a 1991 hatchback that's lowered with 18-inch rims.
And some neons.
Oh, man. Those are the days, brother.
Well, you put the tip on the exhaust, but you didn't change anything else.
No, I had a muffler. No, I had a muffler on that car. At one point, I had 16-inch rims on that thing. Dude, that, by the way, most of those stories are not appropriate for this particular podcast, but that car was in some legendary adventures.
That car, my 84 Buick.
Also legendary adventures.
We had some fun.
Yeah. We can't tell any of those stories. None of those stories are allowed to be told on this particular show. No.
What about just the one time we took the boat and we were doing donuts at the park in front of the neighborhood? One of the many times we did that.
That doesn't sound like something I would do, Nick.
Okay.
I don't know why, but there was a point in our lives where we were like, hey, let's go drive our car way over there where it's not supposed to go. Like, why? Why is it? Why are you driving on the playground? That's so weird.
It was a baseball field.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, yes, it was a baseball field, but the point is there was a playground over there, too.
Oh, yeah. Through idiots.
That was so stupid. Anyways, that's fond memories of the old neighborhood. Hanging out in my old room was kind of weird. That was so funny that I saw that. I saw that on the wall, and I was like, 91. "Man, no!" But the best part about that is that that was like my dream.
So
was
before we post this episode, I need you to find a picture of a souped up 91 Honda Civic.
Dude, it's still on my wall, my bed, my
so
parents.
So you just take a picture of it and stick it on the.
Let's go scan it. I'll go grab it. I'll go. I don't know when I'm gonna go back over there, but. Yeah, I'll find
it. Tell your dad to go upstairs, take a picture, and text it to you. It'll be just as good a quality.
Yeah. My mom was like packing up all my G.I. Joes. We talked about this last time, apparently. Because the last time we talked about it, I didn't know my mom was
putting them on eBay.
We're not going to talk about what's going on right now.
eBay
it's so
didn't
weird.
Work.
No, I haven't gotten that far. But like the boxes of toys have moved from one area to that house to another area of the house. But I was instructed that I had to take a couple boxes home with me, which were a lot of Jessica's stuff. So that was kind of fun. Like we found. I told you, I showed you this, like the pink box of cassette tapes.
Yeah. You were saying the one that she was going to show me, and then couldn't find it was the old school text messaging. aka the notes.
Handwritten notes. Did you write a lot of notes when you were a kid?
Especially folded notes, too.
I remember once upon a time being, like, anti-text. Like, I'm not going to text you. If I want to say something, I just pick the phone up and call you. I don't know why. That was the point that I had in my life.
Because that's you.
And now, like, I don't really want to talk to you. Just, like, send me a text. Like, just get it. Because then I have to be, like, pleasantries. How are you doing? I'm doing just fine. How are you doing? Mom, I really don't hear about that right now. When I say, how are you doing? I just mean, like, salutations. Like,
so maybe that's what you just say.
No, it's not pleasant
that's
enough.
That's just what you say.
Salutations. Dude. Anyways, so I need you to be at my house tomorrow at this time to watch my children. And I love you.
Assalamu alaikum.
I was going to say, if it weren't for you, I literally wouldn't be alive, Mom. I told my kids that the other day, and Jessica's like, they don't get it. And so, what do you mean? Like a Father's Day, that was the other day, right?
Yeah.
They're like, happy Father's Day. And I said, girls, without you, I literally would not be able to celebrate this day. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you for this holiday. Anyways, did y'all do anything fun for y'all came to brunch for Father's Day?
That was Saturday though, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that's for the holiday.
Yeah. So
Father's Day is not really a holiday. Neither is Mother's Day, yeah. But it is for me because it's like very busy in my place of work.
So we did brunch Saturday, and then we went to the Astros game Saturday afternoon. Me, Kevin, and George.
Oh yeah.
And then Sunday morning.
Just you, Kevin, and George?
Yeah.
Oh, Nicole didn't go.
No, she stayed home with Gabriel.
Oh, I assumed that Nicole was going with you.
Uh-uh.
What a jerk. You didn't invite your wife?
I didn't buy the tickets and make plans.
Okay.
It was all my brother.
Okay.
Speaking of that, my brother, like, I got a little drunk. Kevin really? Got fucked up.
Really? Oh, I haven't seen Kevin drunk in a long time.
We had to pull over. We had to pull over on 45 because he threw up.
Yes.
And then we got back to... We met at Elp Lincoln.
Uh-huh.
Had a margarita there.
That's your first problem.
Well, then we went to the liquor store.
Oopsie.
And he bought a little Fifth of Seagram 7, uh-huh. Plastic bottle.
Okay.
He brings that in with him.
Oh, yeah? Snuck it in?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm getting double Tito's at the...
Allegedly, by the way. This was allegedly.
Yeah, no. Anyways, I'm drinking my stuff there, and he pours his one... He gets the souvenir Coke.
Uh-huh.
And he pours his drink. There's no ice in it when he's done. Because he poured the liquor, melted all that ice.
Uh-huh.
He drank the whole thing in four innings.
Four innings. Glug, glug, glug.
Then we went and joined Jessica.
It was so delicious.
Then we went and joined Jessica and Joseph in the bullpen seats out in right field.
Okay.
I went and got a couple more drinks. I gave him half of one. And he gets up and disappears at the end of the seventh, going into the eighth inning.
Uh-oh.
And I'm thinking he's going to go puke. Game ends. He hasn't come back.
Oh, no. Was he, like, stumbling around at this point, too?
I called him. He doesn't answer a text. And then we walk up to the stairs, and he's just standing there with random people, waiting, eating chips and queso.
Is he talking, or is he just standing there silent?
He's just standing there silently eating chips and queso, fucking wasted. He was like, there y'all are. Did we win?
That's awesome. I haven't seen Kevin drunk in a long time.
Kevin also... almost got hit by a bus. Because he just starts walking out, and there's the crosswalk is not lit up for us. The cars are coming.
Was it night? No,
it was afternoon. He just starts walking out. I was like, Kevin. Oh. Come stumbling back. Oh, it was great. So then we go back to El Palenque because that's where we left other cars, right?
Okay. To the bar?
No, well, we were just going to go get back in our cars and go home. But Kevin, like, we had to stop at West Road 45, pull over so he could puke. And then we get back to El Palenque. And he's like, I was like, you can't drive. He's like, I can't even stand up right now. It's like, all right, fuck it. We'll go inside. We'll have a beer. So I'm a little buzzed.
We'll have a beer? That's your solution to this plan.
No, me and George will have a beer. You go to the bathroom.
I can't even stand on it. Okay, here, let's just calm down. Let's just have one beer and calm down. That's a good idea.
No. He goes and pukes.
Then you can drive home.
He goes and pukes. Comes out, gets a sip of water, goes back and pukes a second time.
Oh, bless his heart.
And then he's like, dude, I said, let's just... drive his stupid ass home and take his car, and then I'll bring you back here to get yours.
Well, I bet he was hurting the next day.
So what's funny is he goes and he passes out. He texts us at 4 a.m. He's like, apparently I got white girl wasted.
Not apparently.
I came home, passed out, you know, just face down. He woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning. He says, thank you for driving. And did we win? That was his Father's Day.
Oh, man. I can't get drunk like that anymore.
I had a good buzz.
I hurt for like 2 days.
I was hurting. I had a good buzz, but...
go Astros, I guess.
Well, that was the last game they won, too, by the way.
That's all Kevin's fault. He got so drunk. He got so drunk.
Dude, so I cleaned out my car today. I went and took it to the car wash, and I was vacuuming it out. I didn't realize he had left that fucking bag of chips in my car, stuffed on the passenger seat behind me.
Oopsie.
Next to my my car jack, so they're all crunched up. All in. I was like, you
dick. I blame that on my kids all the time.
No, that was really his chips and queso.
Oh, he had a whole thing. He brought the queso with him too.
No, that wasn't in my car. Thank goodness. But the chips were.
Those are good times, man. Good times at the old Astros.
Dude, was trash.
I tell people that the whole sneak the flask into the Astros game is legendary. So, like, once upon a time when I didn't have kids and like responsibilities, we would very often. Like leave work and I think we got it down to $25, and that was we'd always try to get in for about $5, just do standing room only, and then you just go find a seat. You know what I mean? Oh, these are our seats. Oh, I'm so sorry. These must be ours back here. You know, they're really not all that strict.
Right.
I think it was like $7 for a flask of whiskey, and then it was like $7 for the big soda.
Yep.
Right. And so what's that? That's
$19.
That's 19. I can't remember. There may have been some other
hot dog or nachos.
There may have been something else in there. But I was like, maybe it was $20 for the whole thing. But either way, it was like you could go to the ball game and have a good time because, you know, you have a little buzz and you watch the game and standing room only tickets for $5. And we had a scalper guy that was like, you know, this is what I got. $5. Whatever the $5 seats are, that's what I want. You know what I mean? Sometimes they were 10, I guess. But anyways, that was awesome. We did that all the time. And we didn't get that drunk. Oh, you know what? Somebody else, we never really did this, but somebody else told me that there is a designated driver booth at the game.
At all the games.
No. Listen to this. So there's a designated driver area where here's what you do. You go to them and you say, hey, I'm the designated driver, and they give you a wristband or something.
Right. You get all your sodas for free.
For free. And so that basically, you know, you can't be drinking alcohol if you have that thing on there. Well, who's going to say you can't just, like, cut that thing off or whatever? So you'd go get one soda for free, cut that thing off, and then you have to pay for your Jack and whatever. You know what I mean? Your flask of, right?
Wow.
I never did that one, but I heard people do that one before. Listen, man, when you're a young kid and you're balling on a budget, that is.
Cheap bastard. Wow.
You're welcome for that. Wow. You're jealous you didn't think about that back in the day, right?
No, not at all. It's just cheap. That's not me. I spend too much money.
When you're 21, 22 years old trying to go to a bunch of baseball games.
I didn't go to a bunch of baseball games.
That's your fault.
I knew I couldn't.
You didn't understand. Listen, you know now, but you didn't know then. You didn't know you could take $20 and go down to the game. Made $30 at lunch, waiting tables, $20.
I never waited tables.
That's your problem. That's everybody's problem. Everybody should wait tables. It should be mandatory.
I don't agree with that at all.
We should make everybody. That's one of my biggest things about this, making everybody do something that I think they should do.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, what else is. What's another funny story about the Astros that you'd like to share with the people?
That was the most recent, for sure.
That's really funny that your brother got so drunk. When's the last time you seen him that drunk?
Oh, my God.
Wednesday? Wednesday?
No, I don't. It's been a while since.
When's the last time you got that drunk?
It's been a while since I puked. It's been a while since I puked.
Me too. I have not puked in a long time. Is that like a challenge? You're looking at me like, dun, dun, dun.
No, I was looking off. I was just kind of looking off in the distance thinking like if there was. No.
You still take shots? That's a big thing that I don't do anymore.
They're very limited.
Mm.
Very limited.
But you haven't gone all the way like I forego any future.
No,
bad decisions made by shots. I don't ever spend time in bars either. Like, there's no option for me to have shots.
I have. Well, since we've been back, I haven't gone to the bar. I may go to the bar now twice a month. Maybe.
That's way more than me.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't.
Yeah, whatever. No shots is always a good thing for.
If I do go, it's Friday nights because. I can't go Saturday because I'm going to play golf Sunday morning.
That's right. You're getting up early. That's a new thing for you.
It's the only day. Yeah, it's the only day I could sleep in, but I'll get up to go play golf.
Huh.
We're doing it again this Sunday.
Cypresswood, that's where you're playing now?
Yeah, it's close. It's cheap.
Cypress is cool.
I like it, and it's half the price that what I was paying at Willow Creek, and I get to play every week.
We should never talk about golf anymore. It's about as interesting as me talking about my indoor soccer team.
No, no, just soccer in general.
No, more people care about soccer than golf. That's an easily provable fact.
Sure, globally, I'll give you that.
Yeah. Do you care anything about what's going on in soccer right now?
No, but I keep getting alerts from ESPN about the Copa something or another.
The Copa America?
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I was going
to
be
dumb. I'm not really paying attention to it either. So I don't know. USA beat Guyana 4-0 the other day. I think yesterday.
Is that the USA women that won 13-0, 15-0? What was that when they hit? 12-0?
What do you think about this whole thought about women wanting the same amount of money as the men? They're better than the men?
What do you mean? Who's asking for the money to be
the women's same? National team, the players.
They want the same amount of money as the U.S. men's national team? Uh-huh. Why wouldn't they get the same?
I don't know.
Sponsorships, right?
I would assume. I'm not sure how they get paid.
Sponsorships has to impact, obviously, how much they're going to make overall.
I would assume, yeah.
So that's not something that's... There's not a governing body saying you can't get paid this. It's you have to attract the sponsor yourself. Okay. Right?
How do we fix that? Is there a fix for that?
No.
So, like, you can't just say women and men's sports are equal. Right? Because if one of those sports makes a whole lot more money than the other one, then they're not equal.
Well, what you're talking about is... are we talking about, like, a ratio of pay, or they're asking for...
I don't know the specifics, but I think what I'm trying to dig into is
this, I don't know how much soccer players get paid.
I don't either. And I don't know what any of this means. I don't know if it's like 100,000 versus 40,000. I don't know what it means. What I'm saying is,
regardless, is sponsorships.
The
amount of revenue you can draw would determine how much you can get paid.
If that's accurate. And we're assuming that's accurate because it just makes sense, doesn't it?
Basic economics of whatever sport.
Like, okay, right? How about this?
Women's how many professional swimming, aside from during the Olympics, doesn't have any fucking draw.
Right. Nobody can make a living being a professional
swimmer. No.
Right. What I was going to say is, even you, did you not watch a game or two of the World Cup last year?
Who won last year?
Oh, my gosh. Who won last year? Keep talking.
I don't know. Was that
not you watched USA play last year, didn't you?
I don't think so.
It was France who won last year.
Did they win? Was it 1-0? Was it 2-1?
Anyways, it doesn't matter. Do you remember any of it?
Because I think I might have watched the final. I think we had the conversation.
I thought you said you watched some USA games. Maybe not. Okay, if USA women's are in the final, will you watch it? Will you watch that game?
If I happen to be somewhere that's... has it on,
okay,
I'm not going to make it a point to watch
it. Fair enough.
If it's on in prime time on a random day,
not gonna happen.
And I'm at home.
Where are they playing? I think they're playing in France, so it's going to be like a 10 o'clock game, I'm sure, the final.
10 a.m.?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not going to be able to watch. Well, I mean, I could turn it on while I'm still home.
Yeah. No, it'll be on a Saturday, I'm sure.
Oh. Yeah, I'll be home.
Okay. Let's see if you pay enough attention to catch it. USA will probably, I mean, very likely be in the final, whatever that means to you.
Who'd they beat 12-0 the first round?
Thailand, I think.
Was it 12-0?
I think so. 13, maybe.
Alex Morgan had 5. I know that.
Is that
but I know.
That's my girl.
That's my
girl. You know, I've been a little crush on her for a good long, hot minute.
Well, get in line, motherfucker.
Yeah, but.
It's like, so there's a bunch of people in line. So what?
You know, I've been saying for years that I'd be a really good women's national team soccer player.
I was going to say soccer wife.
Soccer one. Yeah. No, I could do that too, but we never talk about this concept of these transgendered boys turning into girls who are running in these track races. And I don't know if you remember.
Am I the only one that finds that funny?
It's really funny. It's like ironic, right? Because it's like a paradox for like the lefties. You know what I mean? Because they're transgender, so they have like they're in some kind of elevated class, but yet they're competing against women, and you know what I mean? They're in like some kind of elevated class, so it's like, holy cow, what do you do with that thing?
Exactly. That's why I'm giggling the whole time over here.
Which, hold on, there may be something onto this.
It's
like
so stupid.
If transgendered men to women do all of the sports, then maybe we'll be interested in it and it'll make as much money as the men.
Boom. We are going to form the first ever transgender
sports league.
Sports league.
Oh man, we may be on something. We're gonna get kicked off of everything just for this comments right here. No, but think about that. So, like, listen, I don't know if you remember this, but there was a movie back when I was we were kids called Ladybugs, where I can't remember the overall. I think it was Rodney Dangerfield, and he had a boy who dressed up like a girl and played on the soccer team, and they, like, you know, whatever, they won the championship, I guess.
Right. Because keep talking, because I'm looking up. There's an episode of South Park. I got to get their name right on it.
Oh, but anyways, but that's what I was thinking about. I was like, man, I could put on a wig and I can go play for USA national team. Although they're good, you know what I mean? Like, maybe I wouldn't make that team. It's kind of a bummer.
Well, that is definitely an episode of South Park where Cartman tries to compete in the Special Olympics.
Oh, he's an ASIC. There you go.
He gets his ass kicked in every event. South Park.
It's really funny. I think we're on to something with the transgender sports league.
Kyle.
Hold on. Yeah. No. You're just Googling.
Oh, I got it. Somebody else I knew would come up.
You can tell the rest of us what you're laughing at?
Oh, yeah. So there's the first clip is called Exploding Balls. And the next one is called South Park Clip Trans Species, because in the same episode, Kyle believes that he wins the all-star competition, or makes the all-star team for South Park's basketball team.
Okay.
And when he gets to the all-district all-star team, all these kids are like 7 feet tall, and they're all black, naturally.
Uh-huh.
So he goes and sees, you ever see the movie Island of Dr. Moreau?
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about? Where he would morph, he would cross species breed, right?
Well, I want to say Val Kilmer was in that movie.
Yeah. So he makes Marlon Brando. He makes Kyle, a black kid who's 7 feet tall.
Okay.
And so he goes back to the All-Star team and he's all excited. But the problem is that his knees aren't actually knees. They're exploding balls.
Oopsie.
So, and then his dad... becomes.
How do you think that, like, you're sitting around the writing table, it's like, okay, I got it, guys. I got it. Hold on. So you've seen Island of Dr. Moreau, right? Yeah, we've all seen that. It's like, all right, so we're going to blend this. We're going to make Kyle a 7 foot tall black guy, but...
his kneecaps.
It's called kneecaps. Exploding balls. Are you with me?
Oh, my goodness.
And everyone was like, yep, you nailed it.
By the way, the name... Oh, is this the name of the episode, really? The name of the episode is called Mr. Garrison's Fancy New Vagina.
That's so stupid. What else is on your list here, Nick?
John Stewart.
John Stewart. What did you think about that? You saw the video?
Did you get emotional about it? I didn't watch his appearance before Congress. What I did actually watch was his appearance on the Colbert Show.
Okay.
Yesterday, the day before. And he... You know, he just... I appreciate everything he was saying and doing about it. I like his stance. I've always liked Jon Stewart. I always liked Colbert. Even I don't watch him anymore because he's on...
No, he's not funny anymore.
Right.
He's completely a hack now.
But I definitely enjoyed just seeing Jon Stewart.
Again. Listen, our generation kind of learned politics through humor, and they did it so much better. Like, the guys that do it now are not good. They're political hacks. They're so slanted. Jon Stewart was always left, but he attacked the left... as much when he could find funny in it, and I really appreciated that.
Sure.
And Colbert's original character that he did was such a good, I guess, mock of what a conservative kind of pundit is. You know what I mean? And so it was done so well, but everybody since then has been absolutely garbage, frankly. And like, none of those guys are funny anymore. None of those, they're so partisan. They're so hacky. It's just not funny. Really,
agreed.
And there's no edge to it anymore. And it's all like, you gotta not offend anybody.
But other shows that I'll ask you about. Have you ever watched the show The Detour on TBS?
No,
dude.
What is it? What's the deal?
It's really hard to explain. Other than it's a family, and it's a fucked up family: a husband, wife, two kids, and they're telling a story. From episode one, they're telling a story after the fact. So okay. you're getting it in flashback story form.
But what's okay? So you're having to kind of piece it together. That's the concept.
They piece it together for you, and it just, you know, it plays out beautifully. There's all sorts. The first season, he's taking a job, or at least is what he tells him in Florida. It doesn't end up being that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's on to its fifth season now. If you've ever watched it, just sit down and watch the first episode. If you don't laugh out loud a bunch, you won't appreciate the rest of the show. But I think it's that kind of a funny.
Interesting.
It got me from the very first episode. I'm talking laughing out loud 3 or 4 different times. Hard. And I was like, wow, okay. And since then, I think it's, like I said, I think it's just started the fifth season now. It's Jason, what's his name? Does a lot of stuff with Samantha Bee.
Do you think she's funny?
Well, he was on the Jon Stewart and Colbert show. What the hell was that called?
I don't know.
The Late Show.
Who?
Not The Late Show. What the hell is Trevor Noah's show right now? What's it called?
Who cares? He's awful.
What's the name of the show, though?
Trevor Noah.
The Nightly Show?
Yeah, it's a stupid show.
The Nightly Show. Jason, whatever his name was, on there as one of their constant reporters or whatever. He was on that show.
Okay, I get it.
With
Samantha Bee?
No, well, Samantha, she wasn't around.
Oh.
She's a producer on that show. I'm trying to think of his name.
It's I don't care. It doesn't matter. Those shows are not funny to me.
Well, The Detour is hilarious.
Okay,
that's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to think of his name. That's
the worst way to say that The Detour is hilarious. All right, so let's wrap this.
Well, we went through that a long time ago. You just weren't listening, Dick. You were on your phone tweeting.
No, I was trying to. No, was it tweeting? I was trying to. Here we go. Let's finish this thing up. I was trying to get to my what are you into. You were telling me the worst story and the worst story of all times, but I was trying to get to the point where there was a book that I told you guys about a while back that the guys are making the loops on the podcast world, and the book is called The Coddling of the American Mind, and it's all about like this concept of how our kids are growing up to, you know, the whole safe spaces and this and that, like this manifestation of social justice warriors, so on and so forth. This book kind of breaks that down, and it's fascinating. I told my wife the other day, I was like, I got good news and bad news. She's like, okay, what's the good news? I was like, well, the book that I wanted to check out from the library came in, and so I got it. She's like, okay, what's the bad news? Like, I'm pretty much going to read this whole book to you because... So the first book, the three untruths, and one of those untruths is what doesn't kill you makes you weaker, right? Which is against the old concept of what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And it's the concept of kind of the helicopter mom that you don't expose your kids to enough, like, stimuli, you know what I mean? Like, you don't let them play in the dirt, for example. It talks about how peanut allergies, they did a study on peanut allergies, and how basically what they found was not exposing your kids to peanuts earlier causes them to have peanut allergies. You know what I mean? And so this concept of like you can't have peanuts in the whole school because one kid may have peanuts is really doing a detriment. And you extrapolate that to helicoptering your kids the entire time of their life, and then you get these safe spaces.
Gotcha. Anyways, I gotcha. I dig that.
The book is super fascinating.
See, and I'm reading a very interesting book called The Source Field Investigations. And I feel like we've talked about
it. Is that a conspiracy theory book? Because that sounds fascinating.
No. It is about the interconnectivity of everything and all the people, and then the energy between, if you will.
Conspiracy.
No, the guy talks about how there's an experiment. One of the first guys that did the polygraph did an experiment with a plant. It was just a ficus. He attached the electrodes, certain stimuli. Anyways, the point is, phenomenal book thus far, and I'm only about a third, maybe a third of the way into it. The Source Field Investigations. Very interesting. I'm not going to dive into all of it right now.
It sounds really interesting. All right, well, got anything else? Let's get out of here. Nick, it was a pretty good one. This is, I would say, B-.
All right.
Even mean. I don't know. I mean, your performance. I'm like an A+ always, as always.
I doubt that.
Yeah, probably not. Listen, if we ever did one sober, we might be pretty good, but I enjoy being more drunk is more fun. All right, let's do the same thing that we do every single time, Nick.
What are you going to do on the next podcast, Josh?
That's the same thing we do every time, Nick.
What is that?
Try and take over the world.